With some encouragement about who we're to pray for that might surprise you, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
Yes, I do pray for you, and I pray for my family and everything in between. But I ask God to heal me when I feel the flu coming on. You know, I shake hands with 1,000 or so people, and I catch everything that goes through the valley. I get it all. I don't have any problem with asking my Father to heal me. I'm trying to convince you to do the same thing. Pray for yourself when you're struggling.
Zion, all now built with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
Prayer has been likened to a steering wheel for some and a spare tire for others. Which is it for you? In either case, be encouraged to pray more, for God answers prayer. Our teacher here on Grow in Grace is Pastor Ed Ray, the senior pastor at the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands. He's nearing the end of a study in the book of James. And if you've been with us, you'll know James has already encouraged us to pray in chapter 4. He returns to the subject as he closes his book in chapter 5. James will tell us if we're bruised, broken, or backslidden, where to pray.
Working our way through Scripture, we're in James chapter 5, last chapter, verse 13. James writes, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Let's stop there and pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you want us to understand and to grow in you. So help us with these difficult verses, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at the subject of prayer, and a section of scripture that is often a battleground of different groups in the body of Christ, different denominations, etc. But I love Paul Harvey's favorite story. The radio announcer said his favorite story was about a 3-year-old boy who prayed in a strange place, a supermarket. The way the story went was the 3-year-old's with his mom, and his mom is putting him in the cart, the grocery cart, in a little kid's seat, and she says, you may not have any chocolate chip cookies. Evidently not their first trip. And they went in, and he's just sitting there being a good boy until she turns down the aisle that has cookies. He shouts, top of his voice, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? And she says, you know, I said no. Don't even mention, but it was so loud everybody in the grocery store heard it. And so she goes down a couple of more aisles, and she forgot something, so she turns back. She makes the mistake of going down the cookie aisle again. And the 3-year-old lets go again. Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? And she shouts, no! And she's getting towards the end of the trip, and she pulls into the line of people, and the kid knows it's his last chance for chocolate chip cookies. And so he stands up in the kid's seat, and he shouts, she's talking to a lady, and he shouts, in the name of Jesus, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? The whole place erupted in laughter. And according to Paul Harvey, by the time she got out to her car, she had 26 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. So sometimes your prayers are answered more quickly than others. That's where we're going here. Now, the book of James has some difficult sections in it. It's kind of an in-your-face book we've seen. Oh, through the course of this really brief letter, there's been a lot of statements, themes that he's spoken to us. He said, stand firm during trials and tribulations. Take your ground and stay there. Live out the believer's faith in really practical ways, not just in studying and hearing it, but actually doing it. Selflessly loving other people. Taming the tongue. That was an awkward section. Humbling yourself before God. Trusting in God rather than riches or wealth. Patience. All those kind of fun subjects. Well, he closes out with this picture of prayer in faith. It's an encouragement to prayer, probably the strongest one in the Bible. James says that prayer is powerful enough to change our lives, to change our circumstances. Now, there's some theological debate about that, not for James. He says prayer changes things. We'll go through it that way. You don't have to agree with me. You know, we can talk about it in heaven for eternity, and I'm sure we'll both be there. It'll all be okay. So, he is saying we should pray under three different circumstances. Verse 13, when you're bruised, something's going on with you. When you're broken, you go to elders and have them pray for you, 14 and 15. And when you're backslidden, 16 through 20. So that's the section we're looking at. It's a very interesting set of verses. Verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. He's saying suffering, the word is translated, the Greek word is translated trouble in the NIV, afflicted in the Old King James, and it means to endure hardships of any kind. It's not necessarily that you have a disease, that something's going on that way. When you're suffering from anything, physically, mentally, or spiritually, seek God's comfort in prayer. Now, don't miss what he's saying. You should pray for yourself. Some people have problems with that, but James is really clear. If you're struggling, then pray. Ask God to fix you. And somehow we're a little reserved about that. But if you're sick, you just call out to your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. We should call him our Father who art in heaven. So this is a very freeing verse for me to just pray for myself. Yes, I do pray for you, and I pray for my family and everything in between, but I ask God to heal me when I feel the flu coming on. You know, I shake hands with 1,000 or so people, and I catch everything that goes through the valley. I get it all. I don't have any problem with asking my Father to heal me. I'm trying to convince you to do the same thing. Pray for yourself when you're struggling. Now, when you know you're going through something difficult, then you should acknowledge it to the Lord. We saw in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, therefore let us come boldly to his throne of grace. Don't you love that title? The throne room in heaven, control central in heaven, is called the throne of grace. And you'll remember grace is something we don't deserve. It's something unearned. God's favor is given to us when we don't deserve it. So you go boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That means not getting what we deserve. And find grace, a gift from God, to help in time of need. So suffering has to do with hardships. When you have hardships going on in your life, and it could be at work, could be at school, could be in your marriage, could be in your family, could be in friends, could be around you, not directly inside your family. When you have difficulties in your life, best friends, etc., then pray. Pray for the winds of heaven to blow through your life and bring healing in whatever way it's necessary. Now, trials and tribulations are a normal part of life, every believer's life. Paul wrote about it during this same time. This was written in 49, we believe, maybe 50, but probably 49 AD. And Paul is already on the road, going throughout the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel. But he was meeting a lot of opposition, you'll remember. He wrote about it in Romans 8:35. Hardships, persecutions, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Things are difficult on the road in the first century in the Roman Empire. No believer today is immune from difficulties. Acts 14:23. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I didn't see that in the brochure when I became a brand new Christian. Gee, look forward to this. Paul said pray himself. He actually prayed for himself, did what this says. It's recorded in 2 Corinthians 12:7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations given to him, he meant, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself, not feeling more, thinking more of myself than I ought. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times. Three times I prayed for myself, is what he's saying, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So therefore, I would rather boast about my own weakness than the power of Christ that dwells in me. So Paul saw it as a normal part of his life, the difficulties as well as praying for himself.
That's Pastor Ed Ray on Grow in Grace. It's good to pray for the needs around you, and even for your own needs. We continue now in James chapter 5 with more encouragement to pray, not just in difficult times. Starting in verse 13, here's Pastor Ed.
Let him sing psalms if things are going well. What's James saying? It's easier to pray when you're under pressure and you remember that God can help you. It's harder for me to remember to pray when things are going good. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful for all the good things, the blessings that are in my life. That's what he's saying. If things are going well, sing some psalms. Be happy. Grab one of the 150 psalms that David wrote. And he was a guy writing about all different kinds of things in life. So pick the ones that is a grateful, thankful, a psalm of thanksgiving. So don't forget to pray when things are good. It's that simple. So praying for yourself. Now verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So are you sick? Athesneo is the Greek word, and it means to be weak without strength in any way, physically, mentally, spiritually. The medical world understands this. I'm not sure why the church has trouble with healing from God. I read a study this week of family practitioners, physicians who have a specialty in family practice. They believe in the power of prayer. In an astounding number, a 2016 survey of 269 family practice physicians, a remarkable 99% said that they were convinced that belief through prayer heals. In fact, that's 20% higher than the general public. Only 79% of the general public believes that God moves through prayer to heal people. What's going on? Book by Dr. Herbert Benson, it's called Timeless Healing. He said, doctors feel this way because we've seen the power of belief. The book offers scientific evidence for how faith has healed different doctors' patients. Benson wrote, I've seen that believing prayer is powerful in conditions involving angina, the heart, asthma, ulcers, congestive heart failure, diabetes, all forms of pain. We see it all the time. We can't deny it. And as physicians, we quickly recognize the limitations of drugs and surgery. Because of that study, I quoted another one I'm going to quote in just a moment. Currently, I checked yesterday, 11 medical schools in the United States, including Harvard and Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, have classes in prayer for physicians in medical school. 11 of them currently, and it's growing in other areas. So how did that happen? Well, it came out of a study in San Francisco. University of California, San Francisco, in their hospital, did a double-blind study, meaning neither the patients nor the doctor knew which group they were working with. Two groups, about 400 in each group. One, the first group was not prayed for. They just went through bypass surgery, cardiac surgery. And the second group was being prayed for by people who said they were born-again believers. But again, the patients didn't know and the doctors didn't know which group this particular patient A they were dealing with. Well, the result was the ones prayed for had fewer complications from their surgery, fewer heart attacks and pneumonia, 30% less than the group that had not been prayed for. Is this something from the National Enquirer? No. This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. So doctors believe this verse. Why do we struggle with it? Call for the elders. Now, it says call for the elders. You can go in that room. That's what we do in there after every service, is we pray for people. Could the elders pray long distance? Of course. God can hear. But there's something that triggers faith when you hear someone who's mature in the Lord praying for you. And these are points of contact of faith. So when you're sick, have someone pray for you who's mature in the Lord. That's what this is saying. The anointing with oil is sometimes a stumbling block for people. We're not showing a lack of faith by using medical techniques. The oil sometimes in that day was used for medicine. But this is talking about something that deals with the supernatural. Anointing a priest, the high priest Aaron was anointed with oil. The kings of Israel were anointed with oil. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit to remind us that it's not the oil, it's God who does the healing. So don't be afraid to do that. Praying over him and anointing. In English, it sounds like it's the same thing, but pray, anointing the person with oil to remind them, but it's the prayer. It's the Lord that does it, right? Verse 15. And that prayer, the prayer of faith, someone who believes, who's praying that they believe that God wants to and will heal, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, sick here is camino, and it means to get weary, to grow weary. It could be, again, anything, suffering from any kind of a sickness. He will be forgiven, not by the elders, but by God, right? Because only God can forgive sins. Now, I'm emphasizing that because I grew up in a church that believed that the elders, the clergy, had to pray for someone for their sins to be forgiven. No, that's not true. In fact, it's just the opposite. For example, Isaiah 43:25, God speaking, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's the good news. God does it. Jesus was being contested by the Pharisees because he had told a man that his sins were forgiven, a paralytic. Why, this is Mark 2:7. Why does the man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's their whole point. Only God can forgive sins. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took his bread. Now, they were confirming a great truth, that only God can forgive sins. So why was Jesus saying, I forgive your sins? Maybe because he was God, which was the whole point, that they would see that he was God the Son. So, forgiveness comes from God. 16, how about struggling in backsliding? 16, confess your trespasses, your faults, another translation says, to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Confess your sins, another translation says. This is not talking about you going to a person so you can get forgiveness from God. This is going to the person that you've offended, that you've done something against. How awkward. Yes, you have to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. And it's connected with this healing. Pray for one another. The two of you have had an argument. You've been friends for 20 years. And you're having difficulty with each other because somebody said something that hurt your feelings. And then you said something back. And you haven't talked for a month. Go to them. But they may not forgive me. They may not. But at least you've tried. It's off of you. And when you confess to her or him, she'll come back, hopefully, and say, you know what, I overreacted, I'm sorry, and pray for one another. Intercession. Stand in the gap. Take up a hedge between God and the person. It requires us to break out of our own selfishness. You see, when we start blowing it, and this is the first step to going off the pathway he's going to talk about, backsliding, we want to isolate ourselves. We want to stay away from other people. And it's a trap that Satan takes us all through. I was reading a little article in the American Animal Hospital periodical. It says that 54% of pet owners in the United States would choose their pet as a companion over another human being if stranded on a desert island. So, I love you, but I'd take my dog, that kind of thing, I guess is what it's saying. James says we don't have that luxury as believers to lock people out of our lives. In fact, God wants to use us to bring other people closer to God. And when we push away, when we stand off, the opposite happens. Now notice it says the effect of fervent prayer. The word is passionate, energetic prayers. Enthusiastic prayers. Enthusia, that's an interesting word. It comes from entheos. Be like filled with God, it's saying. Be excited about your prayers. If you need something from God, pray like you believe he's going to give it to you. You'll remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Expect him. Anticipate him doing something to touch and answer your prayer. And then he uses an example from the Old Testament that I think is actually kind of an interesting one for all of us. He says, Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What's he saying? He's saying, don't put Elijah up on a pedestal. He was a normal person like you and me. He failed. He did things he shouldn't have, and he didn't do things that he should have. He was a man just like you, just like me. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain in Israel. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months because there was a king, Ahab, who was out of sorts. And he was involved in occult practices and led all the people of Israel into idol worship. So he prays and God answers his prayer.
God hears your prayer, not just the prayers of super saints, because there aren't any. Thanks for listening to Grow in Grace. Today's message is from our pastor and teacher, Ed Ray. You can hear it again at thepackinghouse.org. You'll find all of our recently aired programs right there at thepackinghouse.org, as well as an archive of Pastor Ed's messages. We're also on YouTube, and that's a great way to live stream our services or watch recently delivered messages. Search for Packing House Christian Fellowship, and if you prefer to have a CD copy of today's message, just give us a call toll-free, 844-77-GRACE. Again, we're here to serve you at 844-77-GRACE. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we're looking to our listeners to help. Even a small donation can have a large impact by God's grace, and whatever comes in goes straight into the ministry. When you support Grow in Grace with a gift of any amount today, be sure to request our featured resource. It's a book called Know Why You Believe by Paul Little. Do science and scripture conflict? Are miracles possible? Is the Christian experience real? Why does God allow suffering and evil? Those are just a few of the challenging questions that Paul encountered during his 25 years of speaking and teaching in the university. Questions like these need solid answers, and this wonderful book will help you to get there. Billy Graham described the book as scholarly, articulate, and simple. Again, we're making it available for a gift of any amount. Just give us a call, 844-77-GRACE. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands.
Zion, now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope,